Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear. Cause the truth will be to
All right, first off, you need to know. Need to know is brought to you by Corona. Corona Light, Corona Premier, a great place to get it. Harry's Brewery, they got a special on the Corona Light right now. Two of the 12 packs for $26. Stock up on it. It's the holidays. You know you're going to need it. So get to the Harry's Brewery inside inside the hen house and get stocked up. Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier. And, of course, the Corona Hard Seltzers. If you're watching that waistline, zero carbs, zero sugars. It is red, red hot right now. Get the Corona Hard Seltzer wherever you buy your beverages. And, of course, Curtis Seabolt at the hen house where you can get stocked up on everything for the Thanksgiving. Whether you want them to cook the whole meal for you, hurry, though. They're running out of spots for that. Those spots are limited, hugely popular. Hen house will make the turkey, the ham, the prime rib, whatever you want for the protein, for the sides, all kinds of sides to choose from, even the Tippins pies. It's at your neighborhood hen house. And, of course, you can get the Tippins pies even if you're not getting the whole meal. If you just want to finish your meal with the Tippins pies, that's great. And if you're cooking yourself, awesome. Get the fresh, never frozen, oven ready. Hanner Tom turkeys, assorted sizes, $1.98 a pound. 5-pound bag of Idaho russet potatoes are just $1.48 each. Specials on everything like green beans, all kinds of meats. Just go check it out. It's Hen House. They've been serving Kansas City for 97 years. 97 years. Go to henhouse.com to see all of the specials and much, much more. It's Hen House, your market. Let's start things off with a little bit of Chiefs news from today. The Kansas City Chiefs getting some good news when it comes to the injury front. While Mitchell Schwartz and defensive end Taco Charlton are out in the out for the game against the Raiders, Mike Remmers, who's got a rib injury, and Sammy Watkins, battling hamstring and calf injuries, are both questionable. Both were practicing, so optimism there that they will be able to play. And what was it? Was Darrell Williams out or in? I forgot what we got. I know Clyde Edwards-Helaire was back in practice, so that was good news for the Chiefs. Where was Darrell Williams? I forgot what they said. They go through the injuries so quick as kind of an, oh, by the way, almost trying to get you to miss it. And I forgot what Coach Reed said about Darrell Williams. Well, if you see it, Curtis, let me know. I'll look it up and we'll throw it out there as to whether or not he's going to play. I don't know why I can't remember that. I digress. Let's hear from Andy Reid, who was talking to the media today. I asked him how important it is when you got guys like Mecole Hardman down with COVID, Sammy Watkins been out but maybe coming back. How important is it for all your receivers to know each one of the different receiver spots?
We're lucky that the guys, they get it, and Greg makes them learn everything. So that's been a plus for this time right now. So the guys just jump in and they go. Whether it's Pringle, D, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, the guys just, they know everything, and which is, that's quite an accomplishment. So it's not easily said there, but it, or easily done, easy said, not easy done. But, they've taken that responsibility to make sure they do their homework and have a good feel for all the positions.
It is important. And when they're only carrying five wideouts, right? If one of them's out, that's only four guys. So you better be able to play them all because you've got to be able to, mix and match what you're going to do. So this receiving core is being called upon, been having to pick up for Sammy Watkins. Now we have to pick up for Mecole Hardman. Tyreek Hill expected to return kicks. So something to watch there. By the way, Curtis confirms Darrell Williams was a full go at practice today. New stadium they'll play at in Vegas. The Death Star, it has been dubbed by Raider fans. Andy Reid asked how tough it is to get comfortable when playing in a new stadium.
Yeah, so I don't really get comfortable in them other than we go in and we play, and we don't focus on the surrounding part. We're trying to focus on the game, the field, and what we need to do there, where the clocks are, the game clocks and so on, the 24-second clock, all those things you want to locate and then take care of business from there. But the other stuff you kind of put out, I mean, it's crazy. You get so focused in on that, you don't really notice the whole surrounding. And that's the way it was when we played the Chargers. I mean, brand new facility and beautiful thing, driving up and But once you're in the game, you just you get a little bit of tunnel vision on just the field.
Now that makes sense, right? Like, mm-hmm. okay, yeah, here it is. It's cool. But once it's game time, all you want to know is where's that play clock? So I know when to get snap off and what's going on there. But, you know, it's still got to be a little bit different, doesn't it? Every field a little bit different, every smell yeah. a little bit different. You know, I bet you Grunhardt could tell you is something absolutely completely distinct about every stadium you ever played in.
Yeah, I'm sure there are the sightline things. I wonder how different it is with fans and no fans. I mean, when it's a lot of fans, maybe everything kind of blends in. But when you can see the entire physical structure unobstructed by people, it probably is a little more in your field of vision as a coach. But I get what he's talking about. Once you see where's the play clock, where is this, where is that, and once you get in the game, you are kind of focused in. But maybe it's different for the guys on the field because you have more differing angles. A coach is standing in one spot looking basically in a 90-degree angle for most of the time. Players are looking around 360 all the time, so maybe it's different for them.
I know a lot of folks were looking forward to going out and seeing that stadium. No fans at the Raiders stadium right now. But it's going to make for some fun road trips. I'll tell you that right now. I got no problem with the Raiders going from Oakland to Vegas. It makes all of our lives a lot better if you want a great road trip. Going to Vegas is a lot better than going to Oakland. No offense to Oakland. There's just a lot more to do fun-wise for a little weekend getaway, clearly, in Las Vegas. Ben Neiman at the podium, Chiefs linebacker. I wanted to know, like, listen, they have owned the Raiders. I think it's important to beat the Raiders. If you get a team that sweeps you, even if you go on to win the division, your sense of invincibility is gone, right? Like, a little bit of it got taken away when the Raiders won, but you can earn that all back by beating everybody else, right? I think that there's a feeling in this division that everybody goes, well, we're going to go 0-2 against the Chiefs. And I think you want to keep that mindset there. I think it's important to go beat the Raiders. I think it'd be nice if you can to really pummel the Raiders. I asked Ben Neiman if he thought it was important, beyond just the divisional record and the standings and all that, but to just continue to assert your dominance over the AFC West with a win in this game.
Yeah, you know, division games, we always say, you know, that those are just twice as important, you know, in terms of the standings. And also, you know, you're playing those teams twice. You see them, you know, year in and year out. So, you know, try to take the same approach to every game, you know, just preparing and being ready to go. But, you know, this game's definitely important, and there's no hiding from that.
It's important because you'll only be a half game up. Essentially full game in the standings, but with the tiebreaker in the hands of the Raiders, it's only a half game that you'll be up after it. So they want to win it, but I also think you want to keep everybody else feeling like second-class citizens. Beat the Raiders, and if you get a chance, yeah. pour it on the Raiders in this game. I would if I were the coach.
Yeah, and it's not just, I mean, if you lose out to their place and you win at your place, you've kind of held serve. They come beat you in your barn, and you say, all right, would you return that serve? I think that has a little bit more importance, because a team who won on the road and is coming home feels like, well, we beat them there. We can certainly beat them here. You upset that really, I think, puts the hammer down as far as asserting the dominance that this team has. Not only are we going to beat you, we're going to beat you at your place.
Positivity rate on COVID skyrocketing in this country. It's creating a lot of issues everywhere, right? But the NFL, no different. Maximum protocol levels for the NFL being instated. I asked Ben Neiman, he didn't quite go as far as I wanted him to go in regards to talking about what it is. I asked him specifically, like, how has that changed? You know, the Chiefs have done a really good job, you know, across the board, really, with the COVID thing. When they have had individuals test positive, they've clearly done a great job of isolating them. They haven't had the six and seven guys, just one or two contact traces here or there. And then, you know, knock on wood, thankfully, they haven't had anyone else come down with it. So they've clearly done a really good job. I was curious, have they been at the maximum protocols, right? Has that been what they've done all along? You know, how is it going to change? What, you know, is it going to affect how they go about doing things? Just how much the NFL's COVID protocols have impacted how the Chiefs handle things?
Yeah, you know, this year it really has just been constantly, you know, being on your toes, being ready to evolve, you know, kind of go with the flow in terms of, you know, all that stuff. You know, Rick and those guys, they do a great job, you know, making sure everybody's following the protocols and, you know, staying distance when we can, and, you know, when we're close together, staying protected and covered up. So, you know, like you said, we've had, you know, minimal things come up, and we've been able to, you know, keep guys healthy and in the complex for the most part. So that's huge. And, you know, going back to the beginning of this year, you know, the team that's going to, you know, stay the healthiest, have the most guys being able to play, you know, that's going to benefit them down the stretch, you know, week in and week out. So definitely being healthy is a huge focus.
By the way, Ben Neiman, not a robot. Just sounds that way based upon some lag time in the Wi-Fi at Arrowhead. Here where he slows down and then yeah. The Zoom's catching it back up. All of a sudden he's, you know, an LP played at a 45 speed, you know, coming down the stretch run. That was kind of interesting today. They had a couple of burps and problems there with the Wi-Fi. But Ben Neiman, it's been a weird year, but the Chiefs have done a great job. So a tip of the cap. They're ready to go. By all accounts, still going to play this game on Sunday night and earlier this week, mostly because of the Raiders. But the Chiefs, too, with their tackles being out, there were concerns, and Mecole Hardman, concerns that maybe this game would have to be moved off Sunday night. As of right now, it has not been moved off Sunday night. I'll talk more about this in the kicker. The Saints are going to start Taysom Hill at quarterback ahead of Jameis Winston. I even saw a report that said there are no packages that include Jameis Winston. This is Taysom Hill's game. So he's going to be the number two quarterback, not Jameis Winston. Again, I'll have some thoughts on that coming up after we talked to Kevin Harlan in the kicker. 2 days after he was held out of practice, Davante Adams was cleared to play in what is going to be one of the bigger games for the Packers. Tough game against the Colts. So they will have Davante Adams. Make a note of that for your fantasy team. The decision on whether a sprained right knee is going to keep Panthers quarterback Teddy Bridgewater out of Sunday's game. That's not going to be known until pregame warmups. If you're starting Teddy Bridgewater, you better have a kick-ass lineup everywhere else, but that could be of note for you.
Better have some backs.
DeAndre, what's that?
Better have some backs.
Yeah, you better have some backs and some wideouts, right? Because you're not winning it with Teddy Bridgewater's points each week. Not that he's a bad quarterback. He's just not a great fantasy quarterback. Just not a lot of stats. Lions running back DeAndre Swift ruled out of Sunday's game. He suffered a concussion. So he will not be playing. Browns are going to be without Myles Garrett as they take on the Philadelphia Eagles. He was placed on the reserve COVID list today. And the Bengals are going to be without multiple assistant coaches for COVID-19 reasons. Second straight week, wide receivers coach Bob McNell, cornerbacks coach Steven Jackson, safeties coach Robert Livingston will miss Sunday's road game at Washington. That was announced. Some college football news. Pitt and Virginia Tech are going to wear face coverings on the field as well as on the sidelines Saturday. This is in accordance with Pennsylvania's new coronavirus safety guidelines. Les Miles announcing that Luke Meadows is no longer coaching the offensive line for Kansas. Going to be replaced the last three games by John Marukian, who is a senior analyst on the staff. This is not a good sign that the coaching staff continues to be juggled around. In-season changes are never a sign of a strong program. Never. And it's happened in 2 years in a row. This is a really bad sign, in my opinion, for Kansas football. Finally, before we get to Kevin Harlan, the Toronto Raptors will start the NBA season next month in Tampa, Florida. Remember, there was a lot of optimism that maybe Kansas City would be the spot. It won't. It'll be Tampa. This is said to be because of travel restrictions. Well, we know it's because of travel restrictions with the Canadian government has put in place, so they can't go in and out of Canada. But a lot of people think Tampa, just easier travel. Some people say maybe the players had a say in it because Florida has no income tax. So they said, well, listen, if we got to basically live on the road all season, then you're not taxing us more. So take us down to Florida where we don't have to pay any income tax. So we'll see how the Raptors do. Tampa will be their location, of course. Tampa, no NBA team. Maybe they're in the fight for an expansion team as well. We will take a break. The great Kevin Harlan from CBS, TNT, Westwood One. He's coming straight at you next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I want you to take your hand out of that bowl of Fritos, throw away your National Enquirer, and pick up the phone. Go ahead, pick it up. Talk radio.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kevin Harlan on the program is presented by Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. 913-384-2680 or rbuckroofing.com. And by Metcalf CarStar. If you get in a fender bender, call the experts in collision repair. Metcalf CarStar in Overland Park. Go to CarStar.com and search Metcalf CarStar. Metcalf CarStar. Relax, we'll take it from here.
He calls the NBA.
Game! Series! Toronto has won!
The NFL.
He takes, he turns, he dives! It is a touchdown!
March Madness.
There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
How many jobs Kevin got?
Somebody stop that
yeah,
man.
Yeah, here comes the blue coat.
Oh, Kevin. They got him.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we head home in a big, big way. I don't want to use down the stretch again. That was last week's. But we always finish strong with our man Kevin Harlan, the voice of America from CBS, TNT, Westwood One. He's with us right now on our T-Mobile guest line. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing well. I had somebody on a plane tell me that. Down, he walked by me in the aisle and said, down the stretch they come. So people are listening.
That's great. I appreciate that. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I know it.
We found the one. We found the one. That's great.
I don't know how you can tell. I mean, like, with these masks, I'm dumb to begin with. But now you put the mask on someone, I'm doubly dumb. And, like, I have a hard time recognizing people. Well, I'll be out with my wife and say, oh, did you see so-and-so? I said, who? So-and-so. I go, where? Well, we just passed them. We did? You're like, when these masks are, they're causing me I cannot identify anybody. I'm just doing it on the wind,
right,
the direction, and that's about it. I cannot tell.
Must be a guy thing, Kevin, because I don't know who anyone is, and I'm talking about pre-pandemic when they're not wearing masks.
Pre-mask.
I don't know who they are.
Pre-mask.
And my wife's like, and I'm like, they're like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, oh yeah, good, yeah. What's up? Like, when they walk away, I say to my wife, I'm like, who the hell was that? Don't you remember that so-and-so? And like, no idea. It's why my kids even know. My kids bust me on it now. Because, like, yeah. I got everything. Yeah, hey, Chief. Good to see you, Slugger. You know, pal, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
You know, yeah. Slick. You know, I've got all of them to cover it up. And so, you know, when, like, someone's parents will be there and the kids are there, it's, you know, it's friends of our kids. And like, all right, well, you take care, dear. My daughter will turn to her friend and go, he doesn't remember your mom's name. That's what he does when he can't remember her name.
But, you like, know, you sometimes, like, you remember stuff about them, but you don't remember their name. Like, you remember, okay, that's a guy who used to coach his kid's little league team. And, and you know, yeah, right? And then when I can't remember an angle, hey, by the way, I was just thinking about you the other day. You coaching that little league team, that was great. You know, then
yeah.
They know that, okay, at least he knows me or she knows me, that knows that I know them. But I have a hard time. So my wife will say, like, wait a minute, you'll memorize four teams over 2 days and do these games, and you can't remember so-and-so? I said, well, I don't know. I mean, like, sometimes you just, I guess it's focus. But I'm glad to hear you say guys our age forget that, because I like, they'll say stuff at the dinner table. I go, who? Yeah, gee. Yeah.
We were out with them last week.
I know.
No idea. Who? By the way, who are you and why am I sitting here? No. That, I'm sure that's coming up before
man.
Too long. When it's all said and done. Hey, I wanted to get real quick your thoughts on the NBA draft. I'm a huge fan. Love, you know, it's not as – you don't know who everybody is like you used to. Because of the foreign players, but I still really enjoy it. What was your overall reaction? How much of the draft did you take in?
I'm embarrassed to say I did not watch 1 second of the draft.
What?
I'm just so into the NFL now. I really don't have the time. If I'm not getting ready for my games, then I'm doing something with the family and not near a TV. We watch very little sports in our house. I mean, like, I'll turn on a game in the background, and like last night's game, I was doing a bunch of other stuff and just would look at the score and may watch the last, you know, last couple minutes were pretty close and look at the stats and how a guy's doing maybe at halftime. But I'm really not in the draft in particular. NFL draft, I do watch the first couple rounds. I find it fascinating, the NFL draft, because I just know what's going into it. we just finished the NBA stuff. We're going to start here, like, in camp in 3 weeks. Like, I'm going, oh, my God. Like, when – like, I can't – you've got to be kidding. When they announced the date, I go, you have got to be kidding me. December 22nd, when it's going to start, I said, we were just in the bubble.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so – but I was, you know, mildly interested in where Edwards was going out of Georgia, who Minnesota was going to take number one. I was actually far more interested in the trades than I knew nothing about the international players. I mean, just surface stuff. And then the ball kid. I wanted to see what, you know, what he was. And then the Anthony kid, Greg Anthony's son, Cole, because I work with Greg from time to time at CBS. And Turner. So I was anxious to see what team picked him. But really, aside from that, I did not. I got notices on my phone, but I did not watch one. What day was it? With the draft was two. Was it
Wednesday?
Two nights ago.
Wednesday. Yeah,
Wednesday.
Two nights ago.
What was I doing? Oh, I know what I was eating. That's what I was doing. I was eating again. Oh, that was a surprise. But anyway,
we always joke around. You mentioned the European players, and we always joke around that, you know, like when the draft is, you know, talking about like next year's draft or something, like, well, so-and-so. And, of course, Smelly McSmokes a lot and Smokey McSmells a lot will also be in there because, you know, it's not like that anymore. But back in the day, like every European player was like smoking a pack of Marlboros at halftime. And, you know, the Euros don't want to shower but once every 4 or 5 days. And so we coined that phrase just as a generic for all the European players.
Do you remember though, Saran, when they had the NBA draft? Like, it was must-watch TV because you knew all these college kids, right, coming out. So look at where our college basketball is right now. We had no tournament. We're having a rough start to practices starting. I don't know that I could name more than like three kids in all of college basketball. Right? I mean, like, there's no headline guy. All the headline guys are going pro. And like, there's I mean, we know KU guys and just because they're ranked. But I mean, like, college basketball has got a real crisis on its hand. It's coming off a tournamentless spring. It is somehow going to end up in one site in Indiana to play the tournament games, which is going to be at a logistical Houdini act. And in between, you know, they may have to bubbleize some of these conferences and have them play like the entire schedule if COVID really becomes an issue. You know, look at all the college football games that are getting canceled. Well, I guarantee it, the college basketball games that are getting canceled. I see some teams are stopping practices. So I'm very concerned about college basketball, not just in the health thing, which is our biggest concern, certainly for the kids and the and the coaches and the staff. I'm concerned about the lack of identity in college basketball. Like, you can name schools, you can name coaches, and that's why these schools pay these coaches all this money, because it's Bill Self's program, or that's Mike Krzyzewski's program, or that's Cal's program. But aside from that, I mean, it's a canvas of a lot of anonymous kids that we really don't know that much about, and I'm worried about college basketball. I hope I'm wrong, and usually you go into every season thinking, God, I can't wait to watch this kid play in the conference, and I can't wait to watch this guard and see what he does. Everything has just been pushed to the side, and we know that the most popular sport in this country is the NFL, and college football's not far behind. And then I guess you put the NBA and baseball and hockey maybe in like another tier, and then comes college basketball. And I'm very concerned about college basketball, the lack of identity. And the lack of any kind, like, they're not moving the needle here at all, because we're all wrapped up in middle of the NFL season and the college football playoffs, and, you know, where are these shorter schedules by these conferences. So it's not like the 12-game, 13, it's these short conference schedules. So everything's compact, and I'm concerned about college basketball.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we were in the shutdown, I said, listen, the one thing that all these leagues have to do, and I'll give credit to baseball for sure, adhered to this, is this is a year like no other. It's a complete get-out-of-jail-free card. You can literally do anything you want and be like, well, COVID, right? Pandemic. We had to do it. And baseball tried out new rules, brought the DH over to the NL, you know, to save on pitching because they were going to cram these 60 games together. You know, they instituted a lot of new things. They played doubleheaders, went with seven innings, went with a, you know, in extra innings. You start with a guy on second base, and I think, what was it, the 10th? I think they started doing it, or maybe it was the 11th. Maybe you had one regular inning. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, they did all those things. College basketball has been talking about moving back, and instead of March Madness having May Madness and getting to be a second semester sport instead of spanning it. With cases going up, I can't believe Rick Pitino is the voice of reason right now, but like starting in January makes all the sense in the world right now. And you know, the NBA's talked about it, and so they're going to give it a try. They wanted to get in December, but we're going to get a feel for going late. And is that the better picture, you know, better window for the NBA season? We're going to find that out. But I can't believe college basketball didn't jump on that opportunity, one, for safety reasons, as you pointed out, but two, hey, let's try this thing out. Let's see what it's like to be playing the tournament in May, and let's get out of the way of college football where our whole first month and a half is completely lost and we're simply an afterthought on the sports world. I don't know why they didn't take advantage of that.
Well, and they may, and we don't know, and I think it's a very fluid situation with college, with all sports, but college basketball in particular, as they try to get some traction and figure out, you know, what's what. It would make sense, I guess, in a lot of ways. Number one, when you have these conference tournaments and you have the NCAA tournament, it does coincide with a lot of spring breaks. So a lot of times you got people that have watched and now they've gone away and now they come back and maybe they go and they follow the team in the tournament. Maybe they don't. It's kind of interesting the way college football has set themselves up in a traditional pattern of the national championship game being played mid-January, first week in January, whenever it is. And then that's the predecessor to the NFL playoffs. If college basketball would move a lot of their stuff to May, as we know this year, the NBA playoffs are not starting until late May. So that would be a wonderful entree for them to get, you know, that little nut, because the beginning of baseball will have been in April, we think, beginning of April. They're not competing with that. The national championship actually is usually played on opening day, if I'm not mistaken, or a lot of times it has been.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to compete with the hoopla at the beginning of baseball. May is kind of that dead time. It used to be NBA playoffs, but not this year, and I don't know what's going to happen after this year. But that would be a nice little place to put it, especially in light of everything that's going on right now. So there's a lot, I'm sure, that's being discussed. The bigger question for me is, you know, we're going to let these high school kids now go pro, and the 1 year thing is going to be, you know, a thing of the past. And I'm just wondering, you know, where, you know, I just hope I love college basketball. In fact, that might be my second most favorite thing that I do is college basketball. I love the tournament, love everything about college basketball. But I worry about, like, it's not even making a blip on this on the screen, and I'm worried about where it is and how it fits and where they fit and if they can get up to the speed they want to get a conference season in and get that NCAA tournament, which people really all year long look forward to. I think that they may be onto something by putting it in one location, one area, maybe one state of Indiana if they follow through with that, because it would show that they are hell-bent on getting this thing played, and thank God they are, because if you love college basketball like you and I do, they've got to play that. There was something very absent when, and as we look back on it now, back when they could have played, it wasn't nearly as bad as it is now with the COVID outbreak. So anyway, we're all operating on 2020 hindsight and hoping for the best coming up in the coming weeks, and I think seems like we're rounding a corner, but I hope college basketball finds its place in what is still a very movable situation.
We're talking to the great Kevin Harlan here in the program. Kevin, the Chiefs and Raiders, the rematch. What's your opinion of how strong the Raiders are? You know, I got a lot of friends in Vegas and go on their shows a lot, and they, from the get-go, have never given the Raiders any credit. I mean, they thought this was a 6-10 team, and here they sit at 6-3. Are they ready to challenge the Chiefs? Because if they win this game, they're essentially a half game behind the Chiefs, because they'll be one game back, but they'll own the tiebreaker. Are they ready to go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs game in, game out, or did they just have a day and they've still got a lot of work to do?
Well, make no mistake, that was a signature win for them, and not just for this year, but for Gruden and Mayock taking over with the Raiders. So that win was still resonating. Trent and I did them last week out in Vegas. So we were out there last week, and they pummeled the Denver Broncos. And they remind me a little bit of Tennessee. They're run-based. They would rather run, control the clock, high-percentage passes by their quarterback. I don't think they want to really push the envelope that much. They can. In Arrowhead, we saw they did with Ruggs and some long passing. But now I think that they've kind of found their sweet spot, and that is, you know, ball control, short control passing game, 1,000-yard running back, go to the tight end, you know, and kind of grind it out with the highest paid offensive line in pro football. And they, to me, look like they are really settling into a very un-Raider-like situation with calm. They don't make many penalties now. They've got a game plan. They've got a compass. They're organized and more disciplined, and that's not to say that they can't be thrown wayward by a punch and then start to scramble and become what they were of yesteryear. But I feel like they're a different kind of team. They're organized, managed, under control, and their quarterback is right at the tip of that thing. He is throwing for a high percentage, doesn't turn it over, and they're not making penalties. They're a different kind of team. Now, of course, we know the road team in the NFL this year is basically 500, which is shocking, but you can communicate better. The travel doesn't seem to be that big a deal, and teams are adapting to the protocols of COVID and all that's necessary. And so I just think now you've got teams that are more alike than ever. The parity in this league is unbelievable, and I think it's going to stay that way. And I think by having no fans on the road, it helps the road team communicate better and play better than they have in the past. I think the Chiefs will win, but I would tell you that the Raiders are a solid, solid team. I think they're as solid as Buffalo. I think they're as solid as Miami. And I don't know how solid those are rising teams. The Raiders are in that conversation for sure.
Is John Gruden sold? I mean, Derek Carr is a solid quarterback, right? But is he sold that's his guy, or do you get an idea that his head's on a swivel a little bit? Gruden's head's on a swivel for a different quarterback, I mean.
I think Gruden is very I think he is sold on this quarterback. Now, I don't think it's the one he dreams about at night. I don't know if any of these coaches have, except maybe, you know, Kingsbury in Arizona and Reed in Kansas City. And, you know, some of these guys have got these incredible quarterbacks, you know, but I don't know that he's the quarterback he's dreamt of, but he is the quarterback that he is winning with. And the reality is that's probably more important. He's a veteran. He's a family guy. He is settled. He is into it. He's a studier. He's the first guy in the facility. He lives two doors down from Gruden in a suburb of Las Vegas. I mean, they try to beat each other into the facility every morning, and we know Gruden is famous for getting in there like at 5 or 4:30 in the morning. I think he has all the things that Gruden wants in a quarterback. Listen, there's only one Mahomes. There's only one Rodgers, one Brady. But this guy, I think, is one John over. Interestingly enough, the Raiders did consult with Gruden while he was at ESPN, and he was doing those quarterback things with those kids, and he'd take them to school, and he'd watch them work out, and he'd take them to the film room and have them diagram the plays on the chalkboard, the grease board. And Gruden, my understanding is, suggested that the Raiders, who were shopping to draft a quarterback, this is the guy he would have taken. So he's kind of living with his own decision, even though he actually didn't make it. But this is the one he suggested they pick. So, no, I think he's checking almost every box. I think Gruden is very comfortable with this guy. Carr has matured. Gruden probably has been more realistic. And they've met at a very nice place where this is his third straight year in the same system in a career that has spanned 7 years. I think he had four or five different coordinators to begin with, several head coaches. This is really right in Carr's wheelhouse. This is what he needed, to have the same voice, same information, and he's getting it, much like Patrick is getting it from Reed and Eric Bieniemy. He's getting the same message every day, every season, every year, and that means a lot to a quarterback. So, yes, I think Gruden is sold on him. I think he feels, all right, this is good. In his mind, you know, he's always imagining the perfect guy. It's like when you're in college waiting for the perfect girl to come along. There is no perfect girl, although you and I married the ones of our
That's team, right.
So I guess those are two boxes checked. But this is as close as Gruden is going to come. He knows it, and I think he appreciates it more than ever because they're winning. Guy's not making mistakes, making the right reads. And as John told Trent and I last week on Zoom, this guy goes to the line with a lot of information, and he goes in with a couple plays, you know, swimming around his head. He's making a lot of decisions at the line, and that's important for a Gruden quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Kevin Harlan here in the program. Time for our final four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have a strain, sprain, fracture, or sports-related concussion, the University of Kansas Health System has a Saturday morning walk-in clinic at 435 in Nall. See a sports medicine physician without even having an appointment. Saturday mornings through November 21st. Take advantage of it this weekend. For more info, go to kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Kevin, I will start you with this. What's your prediction for this game?
Chiefs 31-24, I think. I'm telling you, the Raiders are a solid team. They've beaten the Chiefs. Chiefs go in with a chip on their shoulder, revenge on their mind, rested after a week off, and now we're in November. As Brady always says, you get past Thanksgiving, and now you are really zeroing in on the goals you've set for the previous year. We're not quite there, but we're close. This team to me now, the Chiefs, I expect them, whether it's against the Raiders or whoever, I expect them to go into another gear. That's just my own personal feeling. I think the great teams do. I think this is a great team, and I expect them now to dazzle us these next handful of weeks of finishing out the regular season. But I do think they'll win in Las Vegas.
All right. Who carves the turkey in the Harlan House?
Oh, I carve the turkey. I carve the pumpkins. I carve the turkey. I'm the turkey carver. I'm the
I like
carver.
That's good.
I'm the decider. I'm the decider.
I'm not allowed to get anywhere near it. So you're by far the superior man to me on that subject.
It's fun. I love it. It's one of our great traditions.
That is fantastic. What's your favorite side dish for Thanksgiving?
Well, my wife makes sweet potatoes that she got. She grew up in the South, and so she has got a family recipe from Texas that her great-grandmother used and passed on through the years, and that's the one she keeps in her little cookbook and brings that out every Thanksgiving, and that's my favorite. I love that. She does a great job with that. Of course, I think everything she makes is spectacular, but on that particular day, we only have it once a year, so maybe that's why it stands out, but I love her. I love her sweet potatoes.
Okay, and finally, are there any Christmas decorations up yet in the Harlan household?
There are a couple, yes, and I don't know why. Of course, I never ask why. I just say, oh, but I've learned just, you know, that I am a turkey carver, I am a pumpkin carver, and that's where that's where it stops. And when things are put up for whatever reason, I love it. beautiful. I'm festive. This is perfect. Those are my responses.
I am looking forward to. I'm sure Saturday is going to be the annual airing of the grievances as we drag the holiday decorations out. I always do look forward to my daughters. What? You want me to do what? Go down and get the tub your mom's talking about. That's got, you know.
Yeah.
I look forward to that. It's the holidays, right? Let's kick it off.
We
right.
usually don't do it before Thanksgiving, but for some reason, and again, I don't ask why. We've got a couple things that are up right now. Maybe it's because of our second grandchild, and maybe there's just a little bit more. We need more pizzazz or something. I don't know.
Even more cheer in the air at the Harlan household.
More cheer. More cheer.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Kevin, you are the man. Thanks so much. Stay safe, and we will talk to you again very soon. Very soon. I know we got the holidays and everything, so we will talk to you again soon, my friend.
Hope you have a great holiday, great Thanksgiving, Saran, and all the wonderful listeners out there. I wish you all a wonderful holiday, whether with friends, family, or just a small gathering. Hope that everyone is as thankful as you and I are about the chance to work together, being a business we love, and how great to have a Super Bowl defending champion in town that looks like they're on that same road again. That's for a sports fan in Kansas City, there's a lot to be thankful for.
There sure is, and it could have been said better than you just did. Kevin, best of luck. Best of luck. What are you going to do?
I need luck. No. I take that. Thank you. I'll reel in that comment. I need it. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. And best of luck to you, too.
Have a great Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care. All right, Saran.
The program with Saran Petro.
It's me and a bunch of drooling Neanderthal dullards. What more do you need to know?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, a good sense into the hour answer. Chiefs have been swept by the Raiders 12 times in their history. How many times did it happen in a Chiefs playoff year? Just once. Back in 2010, Raiders were 6-0 in the AFC West and finished 8-8.
Chiefs, I think, were 2-4, right? And won the division that year because they had they swept the NFC West, I think, was the deal. Good Sense Subs, man. Get them right now. GoodSenseSubs.com. Be part of that loyalty club. Get 10% back. Locally owned and operated. Founded in Lenexa, Kansas. They slice the meats and cheeses fresh right in front of you. Bake the bread fresh twice each day. Not because it's easy, because it tastes better. Good Sense. Listen, here for the kicker, I'm going to give you this. Taysom Hill is going to start for the Saints, right? Riddle me this. Taysom Hill threw 43 touchdowns and 31 interceptions in 5 years at BYU. Played four of them, but in 5 years at BYU. In 2 years, Jameis Winston threw 65 touchdowns and 28 INTs. Who would you start based on those numbers? I'd start Jameis Winston, right? But I get it. The college numbers aren't it. Based on the pro numbers, right, passing the football, Taysom Hill is 10 of 18 for 56%. That's all he's thrown. No touchdowns, one interception. I get Jameis Winston's had his problems, but if ever there's been somebody who's starting someone just because of the money, the $10 million contract he's got this year has to be the only reason he's starting. Talk about playing a guy just because of the contract. This is it. I'll eat my words if I'm wrong, but this can't go well.
Jed Marshall. Curtis Siebold.
I said, oh, good, five more minutes of this dog's ass in my face. Oh, I know what it's felt like. It's felt like a dog's ass in my face.
Saran Petro.
The only thing I know about strategy is that whatever the manager does, it's wrong. Unless it works, in which case he's a button pusher.